Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is master acting coach and talent manager, Marnie Cooper. Marnie has been teaching acting and coaching clients for over 25 years, and she works with kids, teens, and adults. Her clients have included Mila Kunis, America Ferrera, Miley Cyrus, Skylar Samuels, Olivia Holt, Jeanette McCurdy, Braden LeMasters, Danielle and Kay Panabaker, Taylor Momsen, Paul Dano, Brenda Song, Ashley Arigato, and many more. She teaches beginner through master classes as well as private coaching in her studio in Studio City, California. Marnie also does on-set coaching and works with actors via Skype and FaceTime all over the world. She's also the author of Teaching Kids to Act for Film and Television. Marnie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very, very much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. How did you get started as an acting coach?
Well, I was a frustrated actress, and ironically, I was complaining about somebody who really didn't do their homework very well, and it made me bananas, and I went on a tirade, and somebody overheard my conversation and knew somebody was looking for an acting teacher and recommended me, and I met with the person, and I said, I'm underqualified, and he said, you're overqualified, and I said, I'll take the position. And so it started there, and it just happened that the kids that I had coached for this workshop, all of the ones that I had worked with were of great interest to casting directors, managers, and agents at their showcase.
That's interesting. So you kind of had instant success.
Yeah, I did. I really did. It came to me for sure. I did not go after it. I thought, I'd rather die than teach acting, and here I am loving it. So
life is very full of surprises.
Yes, it is. For sure. For sure.
I love that. Well, can you describe your approach to acting? There's a lot of different ways to teach acting, obviously.
Sure.
And I'm always curious about the differences between teachers and techniques. What do you do?
The bottom line, I work with kids and teens primarily. And the bottom line is to get them natural. So whatever that means, whether it's using what's called substitution, so that we're substituting someone or something for that we don't know for someone or something that we do know to make it more real for them. We also use their imagination, of course. We can use as ifs, meaning I remember you mentioned Braden. Mm-hmm. I remember Braden as a kid used to use a lot of as ifs, and then he went to substitutions because the as ifs, kids are so creative that they can just create something in their mind and work off of it. It's very easy, but sometimes we need something solid to work off of, if that makes sense.
Totally. I love that because it's absolutely true that, one size does not fit all
right
with acting training. And even among individual artists, it's not like one thing is always going to work all the time.
Right, exactly. And sometimes I'll work with people with what's called actions, which are assigning verbs to different lines. Sometimes I won't. Some people get too much in their head, and so that just makes them stiff. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of people you need to do it with because you don't want it to just be one color. And what happens is people in real life use many, many different colors to get what they want. And then when they go to their acting, they get on one color and they stay there and it gets boring.
Yes.
So it's a technique that's just used to make sure that they're not hitting the same color every single time.
Kind of one note.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big note that casting directors will say, I need more colors, mm-hmm. which means I need more levels, which if you think of it in music, I need more notes.
Yeah. More richness, more tones.
Yes.
All
yes,
at once.
Yes.
And chords instead of single notes.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting that if you ever see one of those paint wheels for people who paint, there can be so many greens. And that to me is a way to think about it. Just because that's where you're going with it, there's so many different hues, if you will.
It's not just primary color green.
Right, exactly.
Like there's a massive, really infinite range of possibilities there.
Exactly, exactly. And you also, you want to be able to do, you want to be able to break down your script, but you also want to leave everything alone. It's a funny process. I always say it's the only profession or one of the only professions where you don't want your hard work to show.
Mm.
So you want to work really hard and then you have to let it all go. And it really is different with every person. But inevitably, they all have to let the work go. You just don't want to go in winging it. And that's what a lot of people do, is they think that, oh, I'm going to be really natural, I'm just going to wing it. But that's not a way to go either.
Thank you for making that distinction, because I think there's a ton of confusion around that. The idea that I mean, everybody kind of knows pretty much that casting directors and directors want you to be natural.
Right.
You know, of course, we want to see a natural performance. We want to see a performance that feels so real that it makes us feel something. But that doesn't mean random and unprepared and untrained.
Right. Right. And it bugs me to no end that a lot of the times casting directors will write on it, do not get coached. And to me, it's the antithesis of what I do. So I've even spoken to some of those casting directors and they go, oh, Marnie, we don't mean you. And it's frustrating because I want to coach you so that you're completely natural. If I coach you well, they should think you're not coached.
Yep. Yep. This is such a thing.
Right now, it's so big.
It's like parents are tearing their hair out.
Right.
Like,
they don't know what to do.
Should I get my kid coached?
Right.
This is a really, really big audition.
Right.
It's a really big callback.
Right.
I was told not to get them coached. It's like,
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing? You're sending them
to
the Lions?
Come to me and tell them you didn't get them coached and it should all work out. And that's what I do all the time because, you know, it's a game and you have to play by their rules. So I'm not saying you should lie, but I'm also saying don't tell them Marnie said hi. You know, let's just pretend.
I just saw
you
Marnie.
I saw her on the street corner. Said hi. Yeah. So you want to be careful about that because what they're really saying is we want you organic. And whatever you do to get organic is what they want you to do.
Everybody just let that sink in right now. That's really it, I think, in a nutshell. They want you organic, but whatever it takes to get you there.
Yeah.
For different people, that's going to be different.
Absolutely.
Things.
And I highly recommend people work out. I recommend that they meditate. I recommend that they go to school and do all their normal things, that you don't treat an audition like, you know, freeze frame. Let's not breathe. Let's make sure that we just focus on the audition, because then by the time you get to the audition, you're a mess.
Yeah.
And it should just be a part of your day, not your day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put everything centered around the audition. Do everything that you have to do, but don't set yourself up for failure. And by making it so important, it just puts your head in the wrong place.
Yeah.
You're just going in to give them a piece of your art. You're not going in to get anything from them. It should just be like when you come to a coaching. It's the same kind of feeling. Ooh, I'm going in to strut my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How fun to work out. And that's it.
I read somewhere the other day, and I'm not going to remember who said this. It was a very famous actor, but it was something like, you know, any day that somebody gives you a free room to go, you know, be an actor in is a good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You didn't pay the rent for that space.
That's right. That's right. You get a full 10 minutes or whatever it is where all eyes are on you. That's amazing. That's great. So even if you're wrong for the role, I highly recommend you go in, because a casting director immediately will say they're wrong, but man, they're good. I'm going to bring them in for something else. And that also isn't pet peeve of mine when someone goes, I'm wrong for this role. I can't believe my agent's sending me out. You should be grateful.
That one took us a little while to get. I remember vividly a few that Dove went in for early on, before she was really booking anything. And we just look at each other and go, why does anybody think you should be even going out for this? You know, you look at the description and the breakdown, and you look at your kid and you're like, I don't see it. You know, are we wasting our time here? You know, memorizing these sides that are really long and driving across town and yada, yada. But the answer is no. You are never wasting your time, right? Because it's an opportunity to get in front of a casting director. Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of workshops where you'd pay a lot of money to meet the cast director. You're meeting them for free, you know, and they really want to meet you.
Yeah.
Or they might not be bringing you in for this particular project. They may be just interested in seeing your work.
Yeah, yeah. So. And if you can knock their socks off, even if you're obviously totally wrong for the role, you never know. I mean, mm-hmm. they could rewrite the role. Mm-hmm. They could fall in love with you and have another project. They exactly. could be just tracking you for a while until they find the right project for
you. I, in fact, went in for a on-set job, and they already had a coach. And I was thrilled to go in, and I knew there was nothing at stake, so I could be 100% me. Yeah. And end of the meeting, they said, you know what, we're going to tell the other coach, we'll give her a job another time. You're so right for this. You've got the job. So that was a really great experience for me to share with my students, which is bring the stakes way down. Just go in to meet them. Just go in to do your work without anything attached, and you're a lot freer.
Yeah. Yeah, the old book the room, not the job.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, there's so much truth to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Just going in to make an impression. That's all you're doing.
I love that. And what an opportunity that is all by itself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many actors would just give what to just have that opportunity?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that is something to celebrate all by itself. Now, you teach acting classes as well as the private coaching. What are the differences between your teaching and your coaching?
There's actually a great difference. When I'm coaching, my goal or my objective, if you will, is to get you the callback and inevitably the job is what I want to get you. I want to help you. I certainly can't get it for you. So my head is in that place, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get you there, which might be the dreaded line reading. Yes, which I rarely will do. I really, really want the kid to get there. But like even this morning, the kid was too young to really understand what they were saying, and they even kept saying the line wrong. So I went, listen, it's really like this. And then there was a little epiphany, and he got it. But it was convoluted to him. Mm-hmm. So I demonstrated, if you will, what they're trying to do. And then he got it and did it his own way. But my goal is to get you the call back. So I'm not there to help you grow necessarily. I want you to grow, but that's not my goal. Which is very different. In a class, I'm just there. I pray you make all the mistakes in the world so I can guide you and help you and take risks and don't connect with your scene partner so I could help you to connect. Do it all on one level so you learn that you need a lot more levels. Only use eye contact so I can teach you that there are other places that we look as an artist. We're not just glued to the other person's eyes. When we go inside ourselves, we actually look at a very different place. I also, in class, will show clips, which I love. There's one clip that I show all the kids where Bryan Cranston, who I think is absolutely the most brilliant actor, one of the most brilliant actors, he is doing a monologue talking about his father and in Breaking Bad. And just the pacing, he is so in the moment. There is no rush going on. Kids so often, they pick up a monologue and they zip right through it. And boy, you could watch this man say anything. And everything he says, there's such a deep reason, and there's such a clarity. The specificity in his work is awesome, and that's what I teach as well.
I love that you show clips. I've actually been you know, telling anyone who will listen to me for years that I think one of the best ways that young actors can become better actors, no matter where they live, you know, you can live in a tiny, tiny town in the middle of nowhere with, okay, maybe no real access to good acting, you know, instruction. But you can watch top-notch performances
absolutely
all day long, and you can learn so much by studying them.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why, for example, I'll talk about specificity and how if you're describing something, it's you see a picture in your own mind before you speak. So even if I were to say to you, describe your kitchen, you would take a moment, think of your kitchen, and then you'd actually be picturing it in your mind as you're telling me. So I will have them do that, and then I'll have them watch the clip. So we're talking about specificity, and we're talking about pictures in your mind. We're always using pictures. And I say to them all the time, if you don't see it, they won't see it.
That is one of my favorite things about a really fine actor is it feels like you can see their thoughts
yes.
rippling across yeah. their faces.
Yeah, and that's the inner monologue that we talk about all the time. And that's also what young people really struggle with, the little ones, because they're not yet real good at what you're doing now, which is nodding. Yes, yes, Marnie, I'm listening to you. They're not real good at that in life, so it's hard for them to be real good at it in their work. So that's something that we have to work on, to listen and to really take it in. I tell them that it's like an apple. If you take a bite of an apple, you can't just swallow it whole. You have to chew it. You got to chew it. And that's really them taking in the information and chewing on it.
Processing it.
Processing, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this is so great. Mm-hmm. What a fun conversation. What do you think are some of the biggest differences from an acting standpoint between theater versus film versus television? Because those are different animals. And right. then what are some similarities?
Well, I taught in New York for 10 years and I had a lot of kids. I think at one point I had 11 kids on Broadway. It was just, but they were doing Les Mis. So there you go. Les Mis, I can't even remember the plays they were doing, but a lot of kids were in them. And obviously projection is one thing. Where is your audience? I shouldn't even say audience. Take that back. Where is the other person? Who do you want to reach? And in film and TV, it's just the other person. They're right there for you. Just the other person. Whereas on stage, it's got to be the very last row. You need to make sure. And I'm a stickler on that because if they paid money and they need to hear you. And I hate when you can't hear the people and you know. My grandmother used to go, what'd they say? What'd they say? I hate that. She shouldn't have had to do that.
Not for those ticket places.
That's right. Exactly. So obviously using your diaphragm is different in film and TV versus the theater. But the technique should be very much the same. Mm-hmm. Your listening may be a little more dramatic, maybe a little bigger, but the processing, as we talked about, is still the same. You still have to take in the information. It's the same thing, you know, you could say that about a drama versus a musical on Broadway. There, you still have to listen actively, but what it looks like might be a little bit different,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yep.
And in TV and film, yeah, in film, here's something I find that's very interesting. In drama, you got to love your pauses. I mean, really take those pauses because they can always edit out a pause. They can't create a pause.
Ooh.
So if you go a little too long, better that way. They can just go in the editing room and shorten that. But if there's no pause, if there's nothing going on, they just do, the other point of view. In fact, I had an experience like that where I was working on Touched by an Angel, and I said to the girl, you can do better than that. There are more colors. You take that again. And I asked the director, can she do that? And he said, no, we don't have enough time, which is also a big difference between
yes.
film and TV. And so I was just so frustrated. Because what did they do? They just put the point of view on the adult because the kid didn't have enough going on. And that just made me nuts because I knew she could do it. Mm. But that's a big difference in film and TV. Film, they go, oh, yeah, let's try again.
Mm-hmm.
TV, no, we got, we're, you know,
you're
the
racing.
Meter's running.
You're
yeah, and
racing.
A soap opera, one take these days. One take and they're done. When you ask for another chance, can I have another shot? Boy, they're like looking at, ugh. It's one really one take. They do it very often these days. It's like a machine.
I've heard it was faster and shorter.
Really fast. Really fast. Now, it also depends. I mean, I worked with some great directors who took many, 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 many takes. When I worked with Ron Howard, he loved to take different takes. And you're working with the genius of Ron Howard and then Jim Carrey, and both of them were like, let's try it another way. Ooh, let's try it another way. Let's try it another way. And you're very lucky.
Yeah.
Because you get to have all those takes. But at the end of the day, they're going to pick Jim Carrey's best take. So you better be on all the time.
Yep. Because yours is whichever one is
right. Yes, whichever one is his best one is the one they're going with.
Oh, so much wisdom here. I hope everybody's taking notes. So you've got extensive experience coaching young actors who are on every different kind of genre, serious dramas, Disney Channel. Any differences in how you approach these performances? This is a variation on the question I just asked.
Very differently. I mean, Disney is a different animal, but Disney is getting less Disney.
It is.
And it's so funny because I once had a conversation with a casting director, a Disney casting director, and they said, oh, we don't want it Disney. And I wanted to go, but you're Disney. What are you talking about? So that's important too, that Disney is really is turning down the volume.
Yep.
And that's good.
I think so.
But it's still a different energy. If you don't have the energy, then you're not going to get called back. You need to walk in the room and everybody has to look up and go, who just walked in this room? You know, I work with Skye Jackson. She has that energy. She comes in and I sit up. You know, she just demands attention.
Yeah. Nice point. Energy is important. It's like film and TV is more subtle than stage, but that doesn't mean like, you know, lackadaisical, right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So let's talk about auditioning. We've been talking about it a little bit at the beginning, but it's really its own skill set.
It is. And you can be a great actor and a bad auditioner and never work a day in your life.
And how tragic, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
I imagine you see this.
All the time. Yeah, I know there was one person in particular that, There's one actress that I work with who just gets so nervous. And I've sent her to different people, a meditation person. I've just recommended different things for her to try out.
Hypnosis.
Hypnosis seriously. Is a great one. Yeah. I know somebody else who goes, to a great hypnotist, and you got to do whatever it takes to make sure that when you walk in the room, you're just meeting another human being. It's not, they don't walk on water.
No, and they want you to be...
They want you to do well.
They want you to do well. They want you to be the one they're waiting for. Like,
exactly.
They are so on your side.
Especially because if they don't find it, they get fired. You just go on with your day, especially as kids and teens. There is no great, horrific thing that is going to happen if you blow your audition. But if they don't find the person, they're out.
Yeah. That is a really, really good point. Yeah, they are motivated.
They are. Yeah. They want you. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard casting directors say that. I want you to be good. Mm-hmm. So my deal is I always recommend that kids bring notebooks to their auditions, journals, and journal from the character's point of view. It does two things. One, it gets your head in the right place, but it also gets you away from talking to the other people because that's where you get wackadoo. There's a no phones allowed policy in my world because once you get into video games or whatever it is, again, your brain goes to another place and it's not easy to switch out of that gear. Mm-hmm. So keep your head in the right place, journal, stay with your character's point of view. If your dad left you, try to remember the last thing he said before he left. If it says in it, like a script I was working on last week, that the brother smoked cigarettes, what brand did he smoke? What did they smell like? Why did it bother you so much? Obviously, smoking bothers people, but did he always have a cigarette in his hand? Was he a heavy smoker? Were you afraid that he wasn't going to put it out and the house was going to go on fire? I mean, let your imagination really go. That's what an artist is.
I love this. This is great advice. Any other audition advice?
I would say even with the little kids, if they're even too young to journal, color. Have them color. What does your house look like? What's your room look like? How is your room decorated? The room, that's one thing I always ask the kids, how is your room decorated?
Meaning the characters.
No, meaning their personal room. And it tells me so much about them. Then I say, now, how is your character's room decorated? And they get to have that epiphany of, oh, your room is a sacred place. Generally, it's a place that you're allowed to decorate and says a whole lot about you. And so that's what I want. Open up the imagination and really, how would your character decorate their room? But always go, start with you. What do your parents do for a living? What do your parents do for a living? How does that influence you? Okay, now what does your character's parents do for a living? So that you have an awareness. It's not just, I'm in school answering questions, but you want to have a lot of aha moments.
Yeah, so by starting with yourself as reference, you're like laying the track for those feelings and those associations that have a really real feeling.
Right, yeah.
That is so good. Any special advice for audition self-tapes? You know, there's so many self-tapes now.
I mean, even for people who live here around the corner. The audition's around the corner, but put yourself on tape.
But really, yeah, it's like you move to LA or New York at great, you know, personal whatever, and you're like, really a self-tape? Yep. Yeah. But you got to get good at them no matter where you are.
Absolutely. I would say, I mean, there's the basic stuff. Put just one color behind you. Only one person, it's just the actor. I like a blue curtain because it really makes their eyes pop. And make sure the lighting is good, no shadows, just because that's distracting. Have somebody read off camera that will compliment you, so that you're even working with them. You don't want your mom to do it if it's a boyfriend-girlfriend scene. It's just not gonna fly.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do that. Seek out some other actors. What a great experience to have another actor read for you so that you really get the essence of what's going on in the scene, or an acting coach. Mm-hmm. Pet peeve, be off book, please. Every time you look down, it's a moment that you're not present. And there's nothing like, if you're at an audition, it's a little bit different. Certainly you want to be off book, but it's still different when you're in the audition versus the camera's just on you. Every time you look down, it's a nightmare. It really looks horrible. If you need to sneak a peek, I get it. But let's not be doing that up and down thing, because you might as well not send it in. It'll be a disservice if you send in a tape like that.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day. It was a young actor, and they're like, what am I supposed to do? There just isn't enough time. It's like, you know what, though? Everybody else has the same amount of time you do. And lots of other actors are going to have found a way to memorize those sides and do it well.
Listen, I was always horrible at memorizing, so every audition was a little bit of a trauma for me. But you gotta do it. You just gotta do it, because that's something, it's like one of those things. I explain it as memorizing is like the pencil in a test. You have to bring your number two pencil to take the test, but it has nothing to do with the test. And it's just, you have to memorize so that you can play. But just memorizing isn't great acting. And people say this to me all the time. If I had a dollar, right, for every parent that said, my kid can memorize.
Oh, that's nice.
And I want to go, great, terrific. So, you know.
Good. But that's step one.
I get that that's a skill.
It is.
But that does not make for a great actor. No. That makes for an easier time getting off book.
Yeah, that's all. Which it helps. Great.
It does help.
That's good. What are your thoughts about working via Skype?
Honestly, I'm still an 80s girl. I like the person in front of me. I like them to breathe in front of me. I think if you have the opportunity to go to a great coach versus sit in your living room and go on Skype, get in your car and go to the coach. However, I do a lot of Skyping. I Skype with someone in Singapore these days. You know, I mean, they're first, I guess, getting up and I'm going to sleep, but it works. Skype is great because it allows my team to bring people to the highest level that we can while still being in another country. However, if you just don't want to go over the hill, and you don't want to be in traffic, so we're doing a Skype for that reason. That makes me nuts because there's nothing like it's really about human connection.
Yeah.
So you don't quite get that human connection. The other thing about Skype, which is interesting, I once Skyped this girl and I thought she was quite good. And then she saw me in person and she was very wooden because I couldn't tell her body. I only saw so much of her body. So she was very stiff, and I was like, wow, that's the same person I Skyped with, but it was a different experience.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And also, I'll have people who will ask me to come to their house, and as much as I would love to go to their dreamy house, it's, in some cases, they really are, it's better you come to me because I don't want you comfortable. That's the whole point. I want it to be more like it would be at an audition.
Yeah.
So you might be brilliant in your living room, but that's not the point. The casting director is not coming over to your house. So it's always important. Get them out of their comfortable environment. They can still, if you will, bring that environment in their mind with them. But it's best to do it in a studio or in wherever the coach is in person. Second best is Skype or FaceTime.
Well, and what you just said is so important because not only do you need to get comfortable, you know, performing, whether mm-hmm. it's for an audition or if you book the job, in an unfamiliar, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, less than cozy environment. Sometimes these environments are downright like
intimidating.
Oh my gosh, I think about some of the places that Dove has had to work, like, you know, hour 14 in the snow in sub-zero temperatures yep. at night. Like, yep. like under adversity, these actors, sometimes you just can't believe what they have to pull right. off. They need to not be thrown by that.
Right. And mm-hmm. I always say you need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. So that's what you are. And that's what you're paid to be.
Exactly.
You really, nobody wants to see somebody happy-go-lucky, maybe for Disney and stuff, but really, you are showing parts of yourself that nobody really wants to show, and that's your job.
Yeah.
So I need to see that discomfort.
Yeah, and those emotions need to read through despite whatever else is going
exactly.
on, despite whatever your environment yeah. might be.
And I always say, use it, use it, use it. When things happen that are negative, ooh, good, use it. Because life is not a bowl of cherries. Nobody understands that. No kid just understood that reference. Not
the
a
parents
one.
Are catching
yes.
it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, how has your experience as an acting coach informed the way that you manage clients and vice versa?
Well, as I said to you, I only manage 5 clients. There are people that are with me for a long time. I'm not taking on new clients. This is something that I got into many years ago, and the clients that I have, I've been working with for so long, and I believe in wholeheartedly that I would never want to let them go, but I'm also not building that business anymore.
Okay.
How it's helped me is before I managed, when the actor would come in and go, I can't believe I'm not getting an audition for this, I would think, yeah, You should be getting an audition for this. And then
What's
I started,
wrong with your team?
Exactly. And then I started managing, and I was like, oh my God, I can't get this person in the room. It doesn't matter what I do. And that really helped me to spread that message, which is your agent or manager might be trying so flipping hard to get you in, and maybe it's something that you can do opposed to something your team needs to do. If your pictures aren't good enough, if you don't look like your pictures, and you know, it's a drag, but you got to spend a lot of money on a great shot. You can't do whatever is on sale that you want to save money. This is not a business to make money. And if you're in it to make money, you're in the wrong business. You have to invest. And it's not to say that you have to go to the photographer that charges $1,000. I'm not saying that at all. But you have to go to a photographer that is competitive and that is really, really good. And that might cost you a pretty penny, and that's too bad. That's part of the gig. It could be that. It could be your resume. Very often it's the resume. You just don't have enough on there. So you need to get out there and get the experience, not your team. And that really has taught me a heck of a lot about where the responsibility lies.
The usual answer back to that, if you're a young actor who's very frustrated that they don't have much on their resume and they're not getting those auditions, is, well, how am I supposed to get stuff on my resume when?
Well, yeah, but you can. There's so much you can do. You could do a student film. Why? Because that's going to help you get yourself in front of the camera so that when you go on your audition, the camera is not even there.
Yep.
All the little things. You can join a gym. You can go to the dermatologist. There's so many things. You need to look at yourself, sadly. That's why I say most people shouldn't do this business. But you really need to look at yourself as this is what you're selling. So if you're all broken out, I'm not going to want to buy the kid who's all broken out when there's somebody next to them that's got a beautiful complexion. So go to the dermatologist.
Yeah, or the nutritionist.
Or the nutritionist. Or mm-hmm. And I hate this, but you also have to be cognizant of your weight. And the reason why I hate it, because I was in the business and I was anorexic for a while, and I get it. It is a business that promotes bad eating. So you've got to get yourself a nutritionist so that you're eating well and you're healthy. And I am so big on actors being healthy because there's so many of them are not.
It's a struggle.
Yeah.
It's a serious struggle. And a lot of them are finally coming out and talking about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really healthy because, you know, our culture is struggling with it right now.
Sure.
You know, and it's good for people to know that they're not alone, but healthy is everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
This is good. Yeah, it's a funny, funny thing, you know. I mean, it's literally objectification.
It is.
And that is a very uncomfortable feeling to be objectified.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely, no. And I say to kids all the time, hey, you know what? I got gray hair going on here. If I were still acting, I couldn't have that. I've put on some weight. Well, you know, that couldn't be. But I'm not acting. You chose it. I didn't. Now I get to kick back and do whatever I want because I'm not the product anymore to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I still have to shower and brush my hair and all those wonderful things.
We all have to do that.
Yes. I don't get to totally roll out of bed. Okay.
So you've inevitably dealt with a lot of parents with your work coaching young actors. Any advice for parents who are just trying to help their young actors succeed in this business?
It's really, really, really tough. I'm a big believer in talking to the parents because I think the business is very much leaving the parents out. But I also think that the parents have got to let go, to have their ear up at the casting office is just obnoxious. to take pictures, and I've seen this, I've heard it, take pictures of the sign-in sheet. No, that's grotesque.
What?
Oh, yes. Oh, I've seen it all, and ooh, I have heard it all. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Don't do that. That's
yeah, don't
awful.
Ever do that. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've heard so many stories. And I had, maybe the person who I coached is listening, I don't know. But I had an experience where I was coaching a kid, and I closed the door. And I always tell the parents, especially of the little ones, you're welcome to sit right outside, but I need you to be in a separate room because I want it to be just like the audition. But you can sit right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden the door opened. And I thought, that's strange. I didn't think I had the door open. Okay, I close it. All of a sudden the door starts opening again. But that's really strange. I close it. And then I realize the parent is pushing it open to listen. That's not okay.
No.
You have to trust. And see, this is a creepy world. So you really need to listen to your kids and make sure they're comfortable with their coach, because it's really, really important. But when you send your kid to me or any other coach, you're saying, you know better, do your job. Let me do my job. Don't give them line readings, as I said before. Don't tell them how to do it. Don't get it locked in their head. Just help them to know their words. Maybe start the imagination process with them. Talk to them about, wow, have you ever had that experience? If it's appropriate, if they're really young, you can guide them in that way. But don't work with the scene. Don't muck up what it's like, I can do my job if you haven't, what's the word?
Pre-coached.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, don't pre-coach, because then you're going to, instead of spending a half hour with me, you're going to spend an hour, because the first half hour is me undoing everything that you did.
Yeah.
So that I can then do my job. So just help them know their words. That's it. That's really it.
Well, and do whatever's necessary from a parent standpoint,
exactly,
to make sure that they're, you know, they've got what they need as a human. Like, you know, did they get enough sleep? Are they hydrated?
Absolutely.
Did they go to the bathroom? I
yeah,
mean, this is really basic,
parent,
but it's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's that domain.
Yeah.
It's parent domain.
Exactly. Please take care of your child and then trust that I know what I'm doing, so I don't need you to listen in, you know. And I gotta say, I had a very traumatic experience when I was a kid with a piano teacher, and I tell the kids this all the time, where I had a piano teacher really, he was like, I can't say he was a pedophile, but we're going right, he was disgusting.
Yeah, creepy.
Creepy,
really creepy.
And it was a very traumatic experience. I won't go into the great detail about it, but I always tell the kids, if your stomach says this is the wrong coach, this is the wrong coach, just trust your kid. If they say, I didn't connect, go somewhere else. Because I get that you're bringing your kid to me, and I am very appreciative that you're giving me this opportunity to work with your child. It's just, in this day and age, you do have to be careful.
You have to
be
really careful.
I was grateful to get fingerprinted. I was so happy. I went there with my thumbs up. I was like, yeah, you should know that I'm, you know, a safe person. And if my fingerprints will help you to know that, then let's have everybody fingerprinted.
Yep. You're talking about the Krikorian law.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a relatively new law in California, where anybody who works in a professional capacity with minors has to be fingerprinted and background checked, such that if they have any sort of convictions around, you know, child molestation or anything inappropriate, they aren't allowed to, you know, get into close contact and work with the kids. Now, it's the best, strongest law of its type in the country.
Right.
And yay, California, for being on the cutting edge of that. We have the most children in the business. We should be.
Right.
That being said, it's then on the parents to check and see, well, does
absolutely
your coach have the certificate?
Right.
You know, Agents have to be already. Managers don't, so managers need to be checked. And what about, you know, the voice coach? What about the, you know, my daughter Claire had to do the same thing. She's fingerprinted and certified. The downfall of this law, you know, is it gives us maybe a false sense of security because it doesn't catch the people who are totally creepy, but they just haven't been convicted of anything yet. That's so true. It's like, okay, it's not perfect, but it's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's a very intimate thing because mm-hmm. you're working with your whole life. And even if that life is just 8 years of age, I used to think, oh, you know, you tend to think kids don't have traumatic experiences and don't have, wow, they're, the stories that I have heard from being a coach would blow you away.
Yeah. So, you know, part of the job of a parent, whether your kid's in the industry or not, or trying to get in or not, is obviously to protect them as best you can. You need to follow your gut. You right. need to trust your kid's gut. If right. they report, yeah. like, I don't like this person, Mommy.
Right.
I don't
yeah.
like them. They don't know why they don't like them. They
it
just have
matter.
A creepy, funky
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah.
Trust that. Go with it.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah.
You know, and then once that's the case, if you feel good about this person and they feel good about it, goodness sake, step back, let them do their job.
Right. And there's another thing which is really interesting, which is even when they come in, parents have coached them. I don't want to shake a kid's hand. Mm. I really don't. And I don't want to hug them. And it's not that I don't love your kids. I feel like there's a boundary. And it's important that we keep that boundary. Now, sometimes I get close with some clients and yes, we give a hug, we give a high five. But there's a lot of kids that will come to me after every class and hug me. And it's a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not organic, and I'm all about organic. Like, you don't hug the mailman, you know what I mean? It's like you don't shake your cousin's hands, your 8-year-old cousin's hand. Don't shake mine, especially in this industry. This industry is filled with people who are neurotic about germs, and I have to say, there's a reason for it, because one kid gets sick, they all get sick, and the germs spread pretty fast in a kid's world. So just come in and say hello without touching.
I'm so happy you brought this up, because I've heard a number of different casting directors especially mm-hmm. just lose their minds over it. They're like, you know, do you know how many people I see every day? Just
right.
like, I mean, and if they go down, like, these key people, they can't go down.
Right.
They can't
yeah.
go down.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a little bit different this way than
yeah.
in any other industry.
Yeah.
You know, if a key person on a set goes down, production can stop. It's like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
the disaster that goes into motion.
But it's also, I'm teaching kids to just be kids. Kids don't shake hands. So don't
yeah.
shake my hand. It's not organic. You know, maybe
yep.
a high five here and there, but that's it.
Yep.
This whole, it's all, and I even hear the parents go hug Marnie, go give her a big hug. And I'm thinking, what a horrible thing to do to a little person. You know, go
also,
hug somebody.
Also, kind of looping back to our previous conversation, you know, to tell someone to hug someone that they're not in
that they,
a real
yes,
relationship
exactly.
with, where that is an appropriate thing to do. Like,
right.
there's a lot of stuff that's really wrong about that, because we're
right.
teaching the kids to not...
To go against what you want.
Yeah.
Go against how you feel.
To cross
and that's,
boundaries.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But I think the parents are just, in many ways... They just want desperately for the kid to make an impression, but they'll make an impression by being who they are.
Yeah. No extra touching required.
Please.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Now, what about the kids themselves? You know, I am asked really daily what some, let's say, 12-year-old kid, but any age kid, obviously, can do to break into the business. What would your advice be for some kid who lives very far away from LA or New York, and they don't have the possibility of moving here right now,
mm-hmm.
What are some of the best ways for them to move toward their dream where they are right now?
Well, I think that's a good point, and I think it's important, because you can come to LA, and again, going back to what we said, have absolutely no credits, and you're no closer to getting into the room. So be that big fish. Go ahead and find an agent close to you. If that means 5 miles away, 10 miles away, wherever, there is an agent, because this industry is all around the world. So find that agent, get some experience, get some films under your belt, whether it be student films, independent films, so that you're getting that experience. The more you're in front of the camera, the less you'll be intimidated when you do come here. And you can also Skype and FaceTime, as much as I said. Now, don't do it. Yes, here you should, because you want to get the most accurate, the most up-to-the-minute coaching. You don't want to get coaching from the 60s, you know? So very often you're in the, you know, no offense, but you're in Oklahoma. I tease my client who's working all the time, who's from Oklahoma. And, you know, you're not going to find the greatest coach probably in Oklahoma. Or one that really knows what the industry wants at this time.
And that's a really good point. I mean, there are people who've been in the industry to some degree or another everywhere, but like, how long ago were they really working? Yeah. You know, like if it was decades ago,
there's a problem with that. Same thing. I don't teach commercials. I'll do it in my evaluation because I can certainly get a sense of how you'll do commercially. But I have another teacher who does commercials because she's the expert and I'm not. And people say, I want to come teach. No, you don't. I want you going to the best. And I'm not the best for that. This person knows, Chrissy knows her stuff, and she's books a million commercials, and she gets kids who aren't booking to be booking quickly.
That's fantastic. Any final thoughts for young actors or parents of young actors who are hoping to make a career in film or TV?
Well, I was going to say get out. Just leave. If anything makes you just as happy, do it. Even for me, you know, teaching makes me happy. And so that's what I need to do. I can have a bigger effect as a teacher than I can as an actor. There's a lot of great actors. I think it's a whole package, like we talked about. It's not just the art of acting. It's not. It is a lifestyle. It's sacrifice. I mean, I know every Halloween there's one kid that's working that's really sad because they can't go trick-or-treating. And my heart goes out to that kid, but I hope you're the kid that goes trick-or-treating. Who cares about trick-or-treating? I get to do a show. I get to be with a company of people who are actors. What a great experience. But if your kid goes, I just wanted a trick-or-treat and I just want to be a real kid, by all means, let them be a real kid. That will serve them more as an actor than anything else. Mm-hmm. Which on another note, this may cause a ripple here, but I'm not a fan of homeschooling.
Whoa. Gauntlet thrown down.
Okay, yes. I'm not, because your kid has got to be able to live in different situations in their acting. They have to know what the bully's like. They have to know what the cliques are like. They have to know what it's like to feel bad that you didn't get a good grade and your best friend got a better grade. They have to know they're playing kids' experiences. If kids don't have real life experiences, they can't then emulate them. So it just makes me nuts when kids are homeschooled and we have to act events that they have no clue about. I understand that there are reasons for it, and there's always the exception to the rule. I mean, if I have a kid right now who's working so much that the school's ready to kill him, of course, I understand you have to be homeschooled because there's no other way to get the work done and to still succeed in life. I get it, but wait until that point happens. Wait until the teachers are ready to pull out their hair and say, you can't do this anymore, and then homeschool. But don't say, my kid wants to be an actor, so we're going to homeschool. That, to me, goes against everything I believe in.
Well, and then similarly, if we're talking about what makes, oh, you can't hear it, but my little cat Fern is snoring right now in the background.
Very sweet.
This is Fern's cameo, is quietly snoring off in the corner. Oh, Fern. I think one of the ways that kids can enter into the industry is by having other skills that they've developed besides acting.
Absolutely.
Because that can help them be more castable.
Yeah.
And guess what? It also makes for a richer, happier life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it also doesn't mean that your kid should play the drums, play piano, play percussion, play the flute, make sure gymnastics, dance. Gymnastics and dance are great, but to the point where your kid can't breathe is not fair.
No.
You know? So everything is a balance. And it's, as a parent myself, God, to find that balance is really tough. But we got to keep going toward finding it. We may never find it in a harmonious way, but we do have to go toward balance.
I think of it as surfing. Yeah. Because it's this dynamic thing that is changing every moment.
Right. Yeah.
And you've got to keep your balance on this wave. If you're balanced, it's just for a moment. Then you have to find your balance again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to share, Marnie?
Just that it really is an art form. And acting is such a wonderful, wonderful experience. Every child should have, but not necessarily professionally. I love teaching young people. My thing is teaching professional young people, but I think it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful class. Every child should learn how to express themselves in acting. Not professional acting, but acting. And I think find an improv group, find a class for your kid, especially a kid who has a hard time expressing themselves. It can be so nurturing, but just know that it's not for everyone. And I want to end on this note that parents very often will say, just be natural, just be natural. I love that one. And then I always say to the parent, oh, you know what? Today, you're going to do the scene and your kid is going to sit in the audience. And just so the parent then blanches and I go, no, I'm just kidding. But it's not easy. So don't tell the kid, just be this, just be that, you know? And another thing, which is really, really hard. And when my daughter was in it for 10 minutes, I broke this rule. Don't over talk about the audition afterwards. Don't ask what did she say? What did the cast director say? And what did they mean? And did you it's muddying the waters. Just let the kid have the experience and go on with their life. The less you say, the less important it will be. And that's what you want for it to, again, go back to, it's just a part of what I do. It's just a part of my day. Your parent is dying to know, but don't overanalyze. It's like anything. You overanalyze it to death. You kill it. So less is more in everything you do.
I love it. I love it. What a great note to end on. I so appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure.
Everybody should follow Marnie on social media. On Facebook, she's at Marnie Cooper School of Acting. On Twitter, you are at How Do I Act. On Instagram, Marnie Cooper School of Acting. And then also, I think you should take a look on Amazon and buy her book. Her book is Teaching Kids to Act for Film and Television, and it could make a really big difference for you. So thank you so much, Marnie.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For about the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.